We like to believe our instincts guide us toward good decisions. We trust the flutter in our chest when we meet someone new, the certainty we feel about our career path, the conviction that we know what will make us happy. But what if nearly every major choice you've made, who you dated, where you lived, how you spent your time, was guided by intuitions that were fundamentally wrong? The uncomfortable truth emerging from massive datasets is this. Human intuition, refined over millions of years to help us survive on the savanna, is remarkably bad at navigating modern life's most important decisions. When researchers analyzed millions of data points on relationships, careers, and happiness, they discovered something unsettling. The qualities we desperately seek in romantic partners barely predict relationship satisfaction. The business ideas that excite us most tend to fail fastest. The activities we think will make us happy often leave us miserable. Our guts, it turns out, are terrible advisors. But here's the liberating part. We now have something better. When scientist Samantha Joel analyzed 43 studies tracking 11,196 couples, her machine learning algorithms failed spectacularly at predicting relationship satisfaction. Despite enormous computing power and hundreds of variables, the AI couldn't determine who would be happy together. Yet the research revealed something disturbing. While good partners are unpredictable, desired partners are entirely predictable. Online dating data exposes our collective obsession with traits that don't matter. Men between 6'3 and 6'4 receive 65% more messages than men between 5'7 and 5'8. Physical attractiveness explains 30% of female dating success and 18% of male success. Joel identified the irrelevant eight: race, religion, height, occupation, attractiveness, previous marriage, sexual tastes, and similarity. These barely matter for relationship satisfaction, yet they're precisely what people compete for most fiercely. What actually predicts happiness? Life satisfaction, secure attachment style, conscientiousness, and growth mindset, the invisible qualities nobody swipes right for. The dating market operates like pre-Moneyball baseball, overpaying for the wrong stats while ignoring what actually wins. Parents agonize over breastfeeding, screen time, and educational enrichment. The truth? Almost none of it matters. Studies show parenting effects are 2.5 times smaller than genetic effects. Breastfeeding shows no long-term benefits in randomized trials. TV doesn't affect test scores. Chess doesn't boost intelligence. But one decision towers above all: where you raise your children. Economist Raj Chetty tracked every American taxpayer's childhood location and adult earnings. His proof? Siblings who moved during childhood. Younger siblings spending more years in better neighborhoods consistently earned more than older siblings, despite identical genes and parenting. Super metros like Seattle and Minneapolis increase a child's income by 12% compared to average places. Approximately 25% of a parent's total influence on their child's income comes from neighborhood choice alone. What makes neighborhoods successful? Three adult characteristics: percentage with college degrees, percentage in two-parent households, and percentage returning census forms. These measure quality of role models. Children near inventors became inventors themselves. Girls exposed to female inventors were far more likely to invent, while male inventors had virtually no impact on them. The paradox? Relax about most parenting decisions, but obsess over the adults your children see daily. For every LeBron James born with freakish gifts, millions grind through basketball camps with no realistic shot. Male volleyball players face 177-1 scholarship odds, while female rowers enjoy 2-1. Behavioral geneticists studying twins reveal which sports are winnable without elite genetics. Basketball shows extreme genetic dependence. At least 9 of 10 twin pairs who've played in the NBA were identical, with basketball ability roughly 75% genetic due to height. Baseball and football show only 25% genetic influence. The revelation? Sports showing zero identical twin correlation, Olympic diving, equestrian, and weightlifting, where determination trumps DNA. Kevin Pierce runs Bureau, a wholesale beer distributor started by his grandfather in 1935. His work involves spreadsheets and managing deliveries. Insanely boring. He's also made millions. IRS data reveals 84% of the top 0.1% earn income from business ownership versus 20% through wages. Former NFL player Jerry Richardson caught just 15 passes but built a $2 billion fortune owning 500-plus Hardee's franchises, 50 times Jerry Rice's $42 million career earnings. But sexy businesses children dream of, record stores, toy stores, bookstores, fail fastest, typically lasting under 4 years. Real opportunity lies in the big six industries, where 10% of owners reach the top 0.1%. Real estate, investing, auto dealerships, independent creatives, market research, and middlemen slash wholesalers. These avoid ruthless price competition through legal protection, scale advantages, or brand loyalty. To build wealth through business, answer yes to three questions. Do I own a business? Does it avoid ruthless price competition? Does it avoid being dominated by a global behemoth? The path to wealth isn't sexy. It's methodical, strategic, and often boring. Tony Fadell launched Nest Labs in his early 40s after leading iPod development, contradicting the popular narrative of young disruptors like Steve Jobs at 21 or Mark Zuckerberg at 19. VCs like Vinod Khosla claim people under 35 make change happen, while Y Combinator's Paul Graham grows skeptical of founders over 32. Data studying 2.7 million American entrepreneurs reveals otherwise. The average founder is 41.9 years old, and success rates increase with age. 60-year-olds are three times likelier than 30-year-olds to create valuable businesses. Even in tech, the average successful founder is 42.3. These findings represent counterintuitive ideas. Common sense gets overturned by exceptional stories, which become conventional wisdom through media amplification until comprehensive data restores the original truth. The formula for entrepreneurial success isn't exciting, but it's effective. Master a field, prove your worth as a top employee, then strike out on your own. In October 2007, unemployed roommates Brian Chesky and Joe Gebbia rented air mattresses during a design conference. When Barry Manilow's drummer requested an entire apartment, they dropped the air mattresses and breakfast, rebranded as Airbnb, and gained traction. Jim Collins and Morton Hansen's study of 10X companies, businesses outperforming peers by at least 10 times, reveals something surprising. These companies experienced about 7 lucky breaks, while less successful competitors averaged 8. The difference wasn't having more luck, but capitalizing on it. Bruce Springsteen recognized at 21 that staying in the Jersey Shore would limit his chances, so he traveled nationwide for years, meeting musicians and auditioning for producers. Professor Dean Simonton discovered that prolific artists have more masterpieces. Shakespeare wrote 37 plays in 2 decades, Beethoven composed over 600 pieces, Picasso released 1,800 paintings and 12,000 drawings. The mathematics apply everywhere. When the least attractive men message the most attractive women, they get responses 14% of the time. With 30 attempts, that rises to 99%. You can't control luck, but you can maximize your chances of receiving it. We're terrible at predicting what makes us happy. Daniel Gilbert's research found assistant professors believed tenure would determine their happiness, but surveys revealed no difference between those who received it and those denied. George McCarron's Mappiness app generated over 3 million measurements from 60,000-plus people. The happiest activities include intimate relations, theater, sports, gardening, and museums. The least include housework, commuting, meetings, and working, the second most miserable activity after being sick in bed. We systematically overestimate passive activities like TV and gaming while underestimating active ones like exercise and museums. Social media ranks as the lowest happiness-producing leisure activity. When people quit Facebook for 4 weeks, they redirected time to friends and family, increasing happiness by 25 to 40% of the gain from individual therapy. Friends are crucial for happiness. people gain over 4 happiness points with romantic partners or close friends versus being alone. But colleagues or acquaintances provide minimal gains, explaining why social media, dominated by weak ties, makes us miserable. Despite passionate fandom, sports create net happiness loss. Wins provide 3.9 points, losses cost 7.8 points. Teams need 66.7% win rates for positive happiness. The data-driven answer to life? Be with your love on a warm, sunny day overlooking beautiful water.